This is part two of Monday, February the 23rd, 2026, with Professor Joe. We were interrupted there with a phone call. We thought Professor Jim Fetcher was going to join us. He's calling me back. Now, I was discussing Otis Johnson. He called him 007 Super Spook. And you can punch him in 007 Otis Johnson in my website. Now, Otis was a true 007. But he had told me, I want to go back to start back here for a minute where I left off. General Flynn was indicted illegally after Otis was murdered 2 weeks later. Flynn. Now, Flynn needs to be asked the questions of, you know, what they were onto, because that stuff has really never been pushed out and revealed. And it would be appropriate time, especially since Hillary Clinton is being examined about her Russiagate stuff and everything else. Now, Otis, when I said he was a 007 super spook, they trained him with three PhDs down there in San Antonio, Texas. Gave him three PhDs. One was in oil and gas, another was in finance, and another was in covert operations. Anyway, he was the one that back in the 1970s picked up the Glomar Explorer, Howard Hughes' ship, that picked up this Russian submarine, and they got the nuclear codes out of it and a whole bit. It's called the Glomar Explorer. Otis's face was on there, on the video, in the History Channel. I told him about it after he, you know, had mentioned it. I said, yeah, I looked it up on the internet. And he says, oh, my picture's there? Yeah, they were showing his picture. So he made sure he was removed from the History Channel. And he was. He said, check it now, see if I'm out of it. And he was. He had that power. But Otis was also a one that brokered a deal with Chevron Corporation as a VP of Chevron back after Russia had invaded Afghanistan, or not Afghanistan, what country was that they invaded over there that went into the Gulf? God, I can't even think. It's not Afghanistan. Are you there, Joe?
Yeah.
Not Afghanistan. It's the one that... The one next to Iran, they invaded him for a year and then they backed off because they were trying to get an oil pipeline from the Caspian Sea basin in behind Iran and down around into the country to the east of Iran. And so, anyway, and out to the Persian Gulf. Otis was part of that group that went over there with Chevron to meet with the Russian leader, I think it was Putin at the time, and to make the deal. And they made the deal. Yeah, if you can get the country to go along with that. Well, they never went along with it, and we invaded them, and it still didn't do any good, and we're out of there. And that was the withdrawal of the troops by Biden, I think it was, before he left office. But Otis was part of that. Otis also worked directly for the guy in Las Vegas, Joe, you may have to help me out. My memory right now is kind of messed. But Jerry Henderson. Jerry Henderson. And he was the one in charge of black budget operations of State the Money and through his company. And I'll think of it in a moment. But he controlled $3.5 trillion when he was murdered by George Herbert Walker Bush, and Bush took it over. Well, he had a secret underground house in Las Vegas at Flamingo and Spencer. And it was actually in a 007 movie where a limo pulls up in this driveway, these gates open up, and they pull up there, and this side of this hill all of a sudden opens up, and they drive out onto a elevator that takes the limo down into the secret underground. Well, it was 5 stories below ground. And the Dawson Building, it's called, was across the street, catty-cornered, was the Dawson Bank, the only bank in Switzerland that was controlled by Jerry Henderson of the NSA, who controlled black budget operations of state. Now, he had a swimming pool down there, a hot tub, the whole ceiling in this cavern was all lit up. There's pictures of it up on my website. Is after Henderson was murdered because he shipped A-10s, tank busters, over to Iran illegally with bill ladings from the U.S. government that he found out later were illegal, and he shipped all these weapons over there, and so he decided he was going to testify against Bush and put a stop to it. Well, that didn't happen. Henderson ended up dead. So Otis had worked with him, and he had two houses underground. It's all exposed by the newspapers and TV stations, and there's pictures on my internet site of this. That was after his death, and Bush took him over and it transferred. And then Bush started leasing it out to weddings underground, big underground, fancy weddings. But they had a 6,000 square foot house down there, or I think it was 3,500 square foot house. And he had a 2,200 square foot, two-bedroom, two-bath house. It was his guest house that Otis slept in several times. But that's who Otis was. He picked up the Glomar Explorer. Well, Jerry Henderson's partner was Howard Hughes. He owned the Glomar Explorer. Now, his building across the street, it's across the street from his house, Flamingo and Spencer, the Dawson building, Dawson Bank. Fifth floor below ground was Jerry Henderson's and had a tunnel that went over to his house. Now, someone in the DEA, former DEA agent, was a friend. He's now dead. I forget his name. He's been dead for 20 years probably, but he actually was in that tunnel with Jerry Henderson. Now, he told me about it, went to his house. The fourth story below ground in the Dawson building, Flamingo and Spencer, was Howard Hughes' office, which was the Glomar Explorer that Otis used to pick up the nuclear sub back in 1972 or 73. It's on the History Channel, folks. It's up on my website. That's who Otis Johnson was. He became a friend. He revealed tons and tons and tons and tons of classified shit to me. Now, he said about the fallen angels. He said they reached out to Adolf Hitler and that group, and they gave him anti-gravity flying saucers. They gave him space-time, showed him. This is now, I'll back up. Nikola Tesla, our scientist, J.P. Morgan approached him with drawings that they found underneath, I forgot which temple it is, over in Israel. And anyway, gave it to him, and he came out with it first. And they got the Tesla Society down there, a museum, and a whole bit of this free energy machine. It isn't very big, folks, and a whole bit, but it's in there. Matter of fact, at a Patriot group, I did a speech before one that was about, I don't know, 75, 80 people down there. They invited me down when I was in Colorado. Now, Tesla, J.P. Morgan approached him. Then they took it because they took it to the government. They actually created on Pikes Peak, they created a HARP where they could manipulate the weather and cause a storm. And the government paid the money, DOD. And then all of a sudden, some general gets hit, a colonel and somebody else gets hit with lightning bolts and they're dead. They said, oh man, this is the devil. So they shut the thing down. Well, J.P. Morgan took it to Adolf Hitler with Tesla's technology. They made the first flying saucers. When they went into the South Pole, they had firefighter General Byrd, talking about the hollow Earth. He testified later, and they sent him into the North Pole. The Earth is hollow. U.S. Air Force jets flew in the North Pole, and I was over to this place. He pulled out of his file cabinet, showing me top classified, still classified, two U.S. Air Force jets in 1952 chasing flying saucers into the North Pole. 79 kilometers wide, a big hole. They flew in there, and they said there was a sun in there, a big river going down through there, and that was what they came out of. Anyway, their gauges were all off, so the head pilot says, let's turn around. They did, and they flew back out the same direction they came. That was in that document I saw. I saw one heck of a lot of stuff. Now, Otis was a super spook, but there was a lot more. The guy was very patriotic. Oh my God. Even though he had done stuff that he said he didn't like. like they sent him out on a mission to go after drug dealers in Colombia and other stuff. So he was running the operation. Well, they'd go in and arrest him and tell him, oh, you can split up their drug money among you on top of your regular pay as your bonus. They'd go in there, instead of killing him, they'd give him a gun and one bullet and say, hey, you got 5 minutes in your bedroom, otherwise we're going to execute you. And they would execute themselves. They were so evil. But Otis told me about the fallen angels and the stuff about how they were working with Adolf Hitler and the technology, space-time, free energy, flying saucers. Well, in 1952, that was all put under an alien agreement with the U.S. government. It was the 1952 to 2012 alien agreement, they call it. It's with the NSA and the whole bit. Well, Otis told me about it, and he says all what they had to do is they had to register. There's 200,000 fallen angels registered with the NSA under the 1952 to 2012 alien agreement. Part of that would be they would give us free energy, they would give us space time, they would give us flying saucers. Well, I've got an interview with John Lear. Lear Jets, his dad owned, and John was a spook. He was a test pilot, Area 51. And the whole bit, he became a friend of mine. He lived down the street from me in Las Vegas, where I was renting a house from a gal doing some work for her, and renting a room. Here's the point, is that John, in one of the last interviews he did now, that one of the last interviews, he said that in 1952, his father sold Lear Jets to his partner and took a contract with the government to build 150 flying saucers from 1952 to 1958 is when he did it. That was for our government, so they could have flying saucers. This is the alien technology, the fallen angels, 200,000 of them registered with the NSA. As Otis told me, he says, still, your ex-father-in-law, he says, you married the devil's daughter. Carrie Millman, you married the devil's daughter. He said, that's what put you in this mess. And it was all because she tried to kill my daughter. She tried to kill my daughter when she was 28 days old. And the judge walked her out of a courtroom when they were there to arrest her over it. And they turn around, terminate my parental rights under a default judgment where I wasn't even notified. The bizarre crap I saw. And before a human sacrifice, before my daughter was born, Baphomet, the goat-headed demon, came in my bedroom. I mean, broke the front door down. And I said, in the name of Jesus and by the blood of Jesus Christ, I command you out of here now, Satan. I heard a whirlwind and he went flying and hit the door, knocked the hinges off the front doors. I mean, it was wild. But Otis said, you married the devil's daughter, Stu. This guy is worth $100 trillion. He's one of the richest in the friggin' world. And it's all drug money from Iran-Contra and Meyer Lansky and all that. He inherited Meyer Lansky, Murder Incorporated. Millman inherited that. They had HSBC, largest bank in the world, before he died. They had BlackRock, Blackstone, drug money, largest in the U.S. now. They had Power Financial Canada, Meyer Lansky's money. It all is in the control box now of one satanic punk fallen angel named Larry Mizell in Denver, Colorado, that was on the board of directors of Silverado Savings with Neil Bush. Joe, did I say enough about Otis Johnson?
Yeah, you did. Just continue on. You're doing okay.
Well, I mean, he told me so much about what would happen, but he told me space-time. He said through CERN, the super collider over there, he said, Stu, before his death was in 2017, murdered. And Flynn was indicted 2 weeks later, had to resign as national security, even though he was innocent, proved as innocent. Now, Otis told me before his death, he said, in CERN, they have seen, Stu, that sometime around 2021, 2023, he says, maybe four, he says, two planets are going to hit the Earth. I said, you're talking about Revelation 13, Wormwood, a sister star. He goes, you got that right. Because he was raised as a Christian by his mother. She was a devout Christian. But the point was, because I met her. I met her several times. But Otis said, sometime around 2025, or there shortly after, he says, that's when a big fireball is going to come around the sun, six times the size of planet Earth, and smack Earth. Smack Earth. I said, you're talking about the end of planet Earth and the new heaven. He goes, you got that right. He says, six times the size of Earth, a big fireball is going to smack it. Now, I had a vision once. It was. It was two or three nights in a row. God stuck it in me. It's because of prayer. But I see this planet pulling up to Earth. And I see someone throwing out a big wooden bridge-like thing with ropes on it. And it's flexing out to Earth from this other planet. And it goes solid. And I look, and it's dark. And I look down along this gathering of people. And you can see their faces, and they're glowing, and the whole bit, and they're walking towards me, and I'm standing down near the end of the ladder. And I'm watching, I'm out of their way. And these people are crossing, and they're meeting Jesus Christ at the top of the ladder. The new earth, the new heaven. And I look over to my right, and I see these eyeballs, this first row of people, just as many as you could look, and I turned. You could barely see their faces, see their eyeballs. They weren't too lit up. And then the second row of eyeballs. Millions of people, thousands of people gathered out there. They were the ones that weren't going to cross into heaven. And I'm looking, I'm going, whoa. And after you get past the second row, the third row, it goes all dim. Goes dim. So I turn back and I look. And I'm watching these people cross, and all of a sudden I see my daughter, my son-in-law, which I've never met the son-in-law, and three grandkids crossing the ladder. And all of a sudden I see my ex-wife appear. She comes up. And I hear Jesus say, Stu, do you want her in heaven? I said, it's not up to me, God, it's up to you. And that was the end of it. But I had that three nights in a row. Go ahead, Joe.
Oh, now, for you folks out there, this is, he's done this work. First-time listeners, so they have an idea of who Stu Webb is. Now, what Stu has presented to you is a general commentary on the past few years. And he had to go way back into the 80s and 90s to get this across. And what he's talking about is that it all has to do with the Book of Enoch called... All right, correct. Let me rephrase that. Is it all about what the Book of Enoch is all about? It's about the fallen angel aliens, which take a serpentine front. In other words, these fallen angels can shapeshift into different kinds. So Stu is offering a kind of a connection between Revelation and modern times. And things may not turn out exactly as they say, because of free will. Now, to give you an example of what I mean by that, many of us have been a follower of the Edgar Cayce readings and the Earth's changes. Well, supposedly by 1989, it was to have happened. Well, it didn't. Well, could it be because there is a CERN that can manipulate time? Exactly what Stu was talking about, that the aliens gave the ability to work with time. And David Icke does a good job on explaining time. And these are these conscious layout of where there's several interpretations of that same period of time. And so it all depends. It's what this comes down to. It all depends. And so we have I think it's a William McCarr or something like that, that he really asked, he was a child prodigy, he was a genius. And they asked him about CERN and about was there a time shift. And he came to the conclusion that yes, There was a time shift. And people who are interested in this call it the mandala effect.
Yep.
And that is where people would see items that were like peanut butter and candy would have certain signs on them. But then they would be asking, well, where is the chestnut and Fruit of the Loom? And they would say, we never had a chestnut on the emblem of Fruit of the Loom. That's a time shift. And so there are those of us that think there was a time shift. In other words, when Otis took a look at the time machine, some people like to call it the looking glass, other people call it the games. The idea is that my interpretation is that they present timelines, possibilities that are going to happen. And so when things don't happen that way, maybe it was because there was a time shift, a mandala effect. And so when you connect this up to what Stu has said, that yes, indeed, there is this space-time. We're no longer in what we call fusion. We're in space-time. And that came through the connection with the aliens. And so what Stu does is to connect that up to Jesus Christ and his own upbringing. And it presents a connecting mechanism that we can connect events. But like what Stu has said, according to his events that he had in interacting with Otis, you have also then, you can transfer this pattern today of what happened with Epstein. Turns out that Epstein has said that he's not human, that he's possessed. Same thing for Musk. Same thing for other world leaders.
Cloned.
Like George Herbert Walker Bush presented himself and showed himself as not being a human, that he was possessed.
Kathy O'Brien, she saw him shapeshift.
Yep. So that is what the fallen angel alien does, and what Stu has done is to connect, well, what is that? Well, it's the fallen angel aliens that go back to Genesis 6. 1-13, where the sons of God looked upon the daughters of men and lusted and created men of renown and giants, that when they die, they become demons. So there's a lot of people out there that are doing an investigation into that. So to present it to present time, if you keep in mind as the download on the Epstein files, right now we're seeing that Epstein was indeed heavily involved in genetics. And what is genetics? The very thing that the fallen angels did with their wives, created men of renown and giants.
Now,
there are kinds of, go ahead.
They, you know, the cloning process, that was all tied to Hitler, but it was given by the fallen angels. And they brought those Nazi scientists over here after World War II, and they put him in Hope, Arkansas. It's a little town, the birthplace of Bill Clinton, ironically. Okay. Hope, Arkansas. It's a secret underground base. I used to work with several of the reporters at the Arkansas Democrat Gazette exposing the Clintons and Iran-Contra and so forth before they locked me up. But even not the State Highway Patrol knew about it. And he was trying to bust them all. Mena, Arkansas, the Contra connection, one of them to Clinton's. But Hope, Arkansas is a secret underground base where they clone them, and they brought the Nazi scientists over here. They used to take about 6 months to clone a person. I hear they can do it in half the time now. And that is on my website too, if you punch in Hope, Arkansas and cloning center. There's a lot of stuff out there on the internet and Google about it. But they've been doing this for years.
Go ahead. I watched a video made of Britney Spears where she said, I'm tired of being cloned.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
I heard her say it and I watched it. And so there we have the fact of more of the space-time and what it has to do with genetics. and you take that over to Epstein and what's exploding on the internet with the download of how far and wide the Epstein caper becomes. Go ahead, Stu.
Well, listen, what does the Bible say about end times? Everything will be revealed.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's what's happening. I've been doing a lot of searching, and but I've got equipment problems and don't want to get too much into it. Donations are always welcome because I need the computer system. But here's the deal, is that for right now, anybody listening to this, because my website, they're trying to tear it down. They've been trying to tear it down. I get a lot of hits on it. But I've got a lot of stuff of things that have been released, like the UFOs. Trump signed an executive order, release everything. Well, that comes back to what John Lear and Otis and everybody else has said. And then we got U.S. scientist Ed Slade that worked with the aliens, the fallen angels at Papoose Lake, Nevada. It's up the road about 60 miles from the little alien restaurant where I spoke at and Obed, but where the Area 51 come together each year to listen to speakers, and they actually sleep it out on the ground and because there isn't enough hotel rooms in the desert there. But they would come there to listen to people that are aware of this and have worked at stuff. Various ones that worked at Area 51, but Ed Slade I came across. And Ed was
Let me interrupt you here. My battery is running low and kind of listening. Okay. We've got to bring this conversation to an end.
Okay, sounds good. But Ed Slade was a U.S. scientist that worked with the aliens, at Papoose Lake, Nevada. Now, I don't want to get too much into it, but Lake Tahoe, people drown there and they end up in Santa Barbara, and there's a big sub base underneath there. And that pops up into the alien base and Area 51 and everything else, and the whole comes through Santa Monica, California. Joe, go ahead.
Okay, we got to come bring it to an end, Stu.
Okay. Joe, I want to...
phone's going to shut down.
Okay, I want to thank you very much for coming on with me. We'll do this again. This is part two. This is Professor Joe and Stu, and it's Monday the 23rd of February. Thank you, Joe.
Okay.